Good evening. Welcome to Locust Grove Church Bible Study Lesson. I'm Pastor Joe, and we're going to begin a new series of lessons this evening. And I hope you're all settled in. Thankfully, we're going to begin Bible study in 1 week from tonight, Wednesday night, the 17th. So please mark your calendars. We'll be meeting at the basement of the church. But I want to introduce a new subject that has been on my heart, actually for quite some time, but not to minister it, but rather to apply it to myself. You know, in my relationship with God, I constantly look at my soul, and I see, you know, I sometimes turn off the radio, I turn off everything, and I just want to pay attention to what's going on in my soul. And, you know, I have felt, you know, I've been praying and continuing with my devotional time with the Lord. And I've been praying, you know, and nothing has gone by the wayside in terms of that in my life. But I have felt like the Lord was challenging me to more, to a deeper walk with Him. And I still feel that way, quite frankly. And I pray you share in that kind of thirst and hunger spiritually, because the Lord always beckons us to a higher level of glory, a higher level of faith, a greater level of strength, you know, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from strength to strength. The Bible says in three different places in the scripture. And so, feeling that, you know, I decided to kind of have us look at a deeper life topic. What I mean by a deeper life is, you know, this is not your spiritual milk. This is not what a spiritual baby, newborn in Christ, feeds off. This is more for the grown adult. This is more, as Paul called it in Hebrews chapter 5, the spiritual meat of the word, and it's not spiritual milk. So we're gonna begin to look at, and we're gonna discuss it, you know, slowly but surely, the crucified life. So the subject here in the next several weeks is the crucified life. And so if you have your Bibles, would you open them with me to Galatians chapter 2, please? I'll be reading out of the New King James Version, as always. Whatever translation you're using will work just as well. Galatians chapter 2. Now, this evening, though it's an introductory message, we're going to go deep into the scripture, okay? What I mean by deep is we're going to unfold some truths, some understanding that perhaps we haven't seen in scripture, okay? And I'm going to introduce some terms that might be new to you, but I'll explain them to you, because they are vital in us understanding the crucified life, okay? So if you're in Galatians chapter 2, we're going to read one verse of scripture, a very well-known verse of scripture, one of my personal favorites, you know, for obvious reasons. And though I fall short of this verse, I always keep it in front of me. I keep it not so close to the back of my mind, closer to the forefront, because it challenges me and puts my life in perspective with my relationship with God. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, there's so much loaded, packed full in just that verse 20. So let's kind of begin kind of wade into the shallow waters first, slowly. And that is, you know, there are some theological terms, some of which we don't really need to know. They're kind of, you know, they're not going to make a big difference in our lives. But there are some, I think, in my humble opinion, that we all should know. And two of them that I want to present to you tonight is, number one, substitution. Number two, identification. If you're taking notes, write those down. Number one, substitution. Number two, identification. Now, let me say here, let me tell you what substitution is. I don't think that the body of Christ has a lack of understanding of substitution, because, you know, we've been, if we were raised in a church, or we've been taught the Word of God, or perhaps you're learning this brand new, and that's awesome, and I'm glad you are. You know, we look at examples in the Old Testament where an animal, an innocent animal, took the place of some human being for his or her sin. And the blood of that innocent animal had to be shed on behalf of the sins of that person, of the worshiper. In fact, in the book of Leviticus, the worshiper had to raise that lamb like a pet. Wow. Doesn't that just strike your consciousness right off the bat like a pet? So you bond with that lamb. You feed that lamb. You let it grow. And when it comes of age, you have to take that lamb and you have to slay it in front of the high priest, or the priest rather, and offer, the priest then would offer the blood of that lamb that you raised as your pet in your stead as your substitute. Okay, so it's not a mystery, this substitutionary thing. You know, we all say that Jesus Christ died in our place, right? I don't think that people who have heard the gospel before, maybe you're hearing it for the first time, and I'm glad you're hearing it for the first time, my friend. I pray that you really perk up, because Jesus died for you, in your place, for your sins. He took all of God's punishment upon himself, the punishment that I deserved, the punishment that you deserve, but he took it for us nonetheless as our substitutionary sacrifice before God the Father. And so we don't have a misunderstanding or lack understanding on the substitution department. We lack understanding in the identification department. A lot of religious traditional teaching has robbed us of the second half of the power of identification, because, you know, without identification, substitution is going to mean very little to us. Okay, I'll explain that. So, substitution is Jesus took our place, bore our sins in his own body. The scripture for that is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He bore our sins in his own body on that tree. Okay, and he died for us as our substitute, and he was buried. He arose from the dead on the third day. He ascended to heaven 40 days later, okay, on our behalf. He was our substitute. Now, but notice what Paul says here. He says, I am crucified with Christ. That's substitution. Okay? Now, notice this next word, identification. You see what Paul said there? I am, or have been, crucified with Christ. Have been is the past perfect verb. Okay, that's an action in the past that occurred in the past with ongoing effects into the present and ongoing effects into the future. I have been crucified with Christ. So Paul said this, when Christ took my place on the cross, listen to what Paul says, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I was with him in the cross in the mind of God. Wow. So when Jesus hung on the cross, crucified, it was not just Jesus alone, at least from God's perspective, that was hanging on the cross. I was hanging on the cross with Christ. You were hanging on the cross with Christ. That's what we call identification. We identify with what Jesus did for us, and thus, in God's mind, when all that happened 2,000 years ago, Jesus, in the mind of the Father, Jesus was not the only one crucified on the cross. All of us were crucified on the cross with Christ. That is the power of identification. Okay, I want you to see that. It is vitally, vitally important, because that's what gives us power in our relationship with God, and it is part of living the crucified life. Okay, so he says here, I was crucified, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I that's alive. Paul saying, it's not me, Paul, the apostle of Tarsus, that's living. He says, it is Christ living in me and living his life through me. Isn't that the object? Isn't that kind of the real goal of Christianity? That we live a crucified life? Why would you and I live a crucified life? Because Jesus then, to the extent that we live that crucified life, to that same extent, Christ himself living in us is living his life through us. Doesn't the Bible say in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, that we all are being transformed. Verse 18, we are all being transformed. Verse 17 says, this is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Verse 18 says that we are all being transformed into the likeness of Christ from one level of glory to another level of glory. So that's the goal of our Christian lives, is to let the Jesus who lives in us, let His life shine through us. Let His love shine through us. So let me ask you this question. My friends, do your loved ones, do your friends, do other people, do your enemies see glimpses of Jesus coming through in your life? Do they see the love of Christ? Do they see the mercy of Christ? Do they see the compassion of Christ? Do they see the gentleness of Christ? Do they see the faithfulness of Christ? Do they see the power of Christ in your life? Well, Pastor Joe, you lost me there. You know, it's so hard being a Christian. I think it's for us, sometimes it gets hard being a Christian because we don't understand the power of identification. All right, so under substitution, Jesus took my place. And then under identification, you should write, if you're a note taker, Jesus did not take my place alone in the mind of God. I was with Christ when He took my place. Okay, that's identification. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Very, very important, all right? Now, turn with me, if you would, please, to Romans chapter 6. Buckle your seatbelts. I'm going to share some scripture that maybe we haven't seen the totality of, because now we're going to talk about identification, okay? I'm going to kind of stray a little bit from the substitutionary aspect of redemption, and now we're going to look at the identification aspect of redemption. Romans chapter 6. So the first thing was, when Christ was crucified, I was crucified with Him, right? Isn't that what Paul the Apostle said? I have been crucified with Christ, okay? So let's look at Romans chapter 6, please. And I want us to read one verse of Scripture, verse 8. Notice carefully, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Wow. So it doesn't just say that Jesus died. It says we died with Christ. So let me get the order straight. When Christ was crucified, I was crucified, you were crucified with Christ. When Christ died on the cross, I died with Christ. The operative word there is that conjunction, with. When He died, I died in the mind of God. Jesus died, I died. Jesus was crucified, I was crucified. Jesus died, I died. Okay? Now, go up with me a couple of verses. Go with me to verse 4 of Romans 6. Therefore, we were buried, notice again, with Him. So what do we have here? Christ, when Christ was crucified, in the mind of God, I was crucified. When Christ died, I died. When Christ was buried, I was buried with Him in the mind of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Vital, vital, vital to know. This is super important to know as a basis, a foundation for our understanding of living the crucified life. Ephesians chapter 2, please. See, a lot of people live a defeated life because they stop there. They stop with only the crucified life. They say, you know, when Christ was crucified, I was crucified. When Christ died, I died. When Christ was buried, I was buried. But notice Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. It says here, verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Do you see that? When Christ was crucified, I was crucified. When Christ died, I died. When Christ was buried, I was buried. And according to Ephesians 2, when Christ was made alive, I was made alive together with Him. Do you see the power of identification, church family? Wow, this is beginning to give me goosebumps. This is powerful stuff because as Paul said, Paul can say, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, because Paul understood that he wasn't only crucified with Christ, that he not only died with Christ, that he not only was buried with Christ, he understood he was made alive together with Christ. Wow. So I am alive in Christ. Say it with me. I am alive in Christ. All right? Now go with me to Colossians chapter 3, the last scripture, at least from this particular portion that we're going to look at. Colossians chapter 3. I love these verses. I don't know if you've seen them together before like this. The Lord showed me this about 10 years ago, and it just became all so clear. I did not read it in a book. I didn't, you know, it just came to me one day as I was studying the scripture, began to look up the scriptures, and it just, like a deck of cards being shuffled together, it just started falling into place in my mind and in my spirit. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, if we were raised with Christ, so let's go back to the top. I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, when Christ was crucified, I was crucified. When Christ died, I died. When Christ was buried, I was buried. When Christ was made alive, I was made alive. When Christ was raised to the Father, I was raised with Christ. Wow. Isn't that powerful? And that encouraging, man, I hope you're getting a good shot of this. And we're not, when I say this was the last scripture, I lied. Sorry. Ephesians chapter 2, again. These are spiritual realities. All right? I want us to understand the basis for the crucified life is we're alive in Christ. That's how Paul could say, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It is not I who live, but Christ lives in me. Okay, so it says here in verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Notice verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. So not only was I crucified with Christ, not only did I die with Christ, not only was I buried with Christ, not only was I made alive with Christ, not only was I raised together with Christ, not only was I ascended together with Christ, I was made to sit together with Him in the heaven of heavens, okay? And I'm sitting together with Christ in the heavenly realms. Now, how far is that? Go with me one page, Ephesians chapter 1, please. Notice verse 19. And what is Paul is issuing a prayer that we would understand several things about God and Christ. Verse 19, and this is the third thing he prays. And what is the exceeding greatness of the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ Jesus when God raised him from the dead and seated him at God's right hand in the heavenly places. Notice verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Okay, so if we have no problem believing that Jesus Christ is seated far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Now let me ask you a question. Where did it say in Ephesians 2 that we were made to sit together? Doesn't it say we were made to sit together with Christ? So if you add two and two, then you're going to get, because I've been made to sit together with Christ by God the Father, then I am sitting with Christ far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that can be named. And that, my friends, is your position in Christ. That is your rightful place in Christ. That is your authority in Christ that you have in Him. And listen, from here on, we're going to start looking at the crucified life. There are so many components to this, but I wanted you to see the big picture. But we're going to go to the crucified life. The big picture is simply this, is that when Christ was crucified, in the mind of God, I was crucified. When Christ died, in the mind of God, I died. When Christ was buried, in the mind of God, I was buried. When Christ was made alive, I was made alive in the mind of God. When Christ was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. When Christ ascended to the heavenly places, I was ascended to the heavenly places in the mind of God. When Christ seated Himself at the right hand of God, I and you together, we were made to sit together with Christ in the mind of God, far above all principality, all power, all authority, all dominion, all might, every name that could possibly be named. I pray that this Bible study was a blessing to you. There's more to come, so I would encourage you to come Wednesday evenings next week, Wednesday, 6:30, all right? God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this understanding from Scripture. Help us to wrap our minds around it, Lord. Father, help us to understand the beauty of this relationship that we have with you, God, through Christ, of this beautiful reality, new creation reality, that we are made to be alive in Christ. We're thankful for that in Jesus' name. Amen.